The first step is to become a Christian, and once you've become a Christian, then God wants us to make room for Him to become who we become more like, for Him to become more prevalent in our lives, and be the one that people see whenever they look at us. And so we want to put on that new man. Before we move into the to that time of worshiping in His Word, I just want to have you pay a little bit of attention to the dates to remember in the bulletin. And so we've been kind of changing things just a little bit around so that we do the main announcements at the beginning. So I know that that's a little new for us, but as soon as you see Wesley up here on Sunday morning, that means we're getting started. And so come on in and sit down. That way you can hear the announcements. But I want to reiterate one of the announcements in here, and that is the one for November 21st, Community Thanksgiving Service at Potosi Southern Baptist Church. This is put on by our Ministerial Alliance. Kevin Smith, the youth and associate pastor over First Baptist, will be bringing the message this year. And so we want you guys to be there. We want our community to come together and worship, and that's going to happen at 7 p.m. next Monday on the 21st. If you would like to be part of a community choir that they're putting together, Miss Bev McCullough is helping to put together a choir. And if you'd like to sing in that choir, they're going to be meeting on the Sunday, next Sunday night, which is the 20th at 7 p.m. for anybody that'd like to be part of that community choir. And so I want you to know about that opportunity. We will also be having sponsoring a Vespers at the Potosi High School again this year. Thank God that we're continuing to be able to do that, and that is going to be on December the 7th, and we will be putting together a choir for that as well in the future, and I will let you know as soon as we have a date for our first practice for that, if you'd like to be a part of that. That was a lot of fun last year, and so let's go ahead and have a word of prayer over the reading of the scripture this morning, and then we're going to get into our message for today. So let's all bow together. Dear Father, we come before You today, and we just pray that You'll be honored and glorified here. And Lord, I pray that You would be lifted up, that You would be magnified, that You would be multiplied among the believers today. And so, Father, please speak to us today through Your Word. Help us, Lord, to be able to not only connect with the Word today, but to apply it to our individual lives. And Lord, this isn't just a history lesson. This is a letter to us from You. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us to have full understanding in this today through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so hopefully you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, we're going to read passage 17 through 32. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Lord, again, we just ask that you will explain this to our hearts. This is your holy word. It's without error. And Lord, thank you for giving it to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody can have a seat. As we read these verses, I'm kind of reminded of something. We may have put on a couple of extra clothes today because it's a little chilly out there whenever we came to church. But, you know, when we think about how each day, you know, we find new clean clothes to put on, we don't just keep putting more clothes on top of clothing, right? You take off the old clothes, the dirty clothes, and you put on new clothes. And so each day, that's a common practice. And because we know that we've got dirt and grime and things of that nature that we get on our old clothing. And so in the same way, we've got to understand this flesh that we live in is kind of like temporary clothing, right? This flesh is not entering into heaven, this flesh. In fact, we're going to lay this one down. This is like it's considered a tent, a temporary dwelling place by the Bible. And we're going to lay this down to enter into heaven. But you see, what God's telling us here today is we don't have to wait till then to start renewing it. So he wants us to begin to, as believers in Christ, if you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and you have given your heart to him, he sends a new spirit to live in our heart. But if you notice, some of the flesh tends to try to live the same old way that it did before. And so he's giving us instruction on how to make room for the new man. You see, if you keep the old man in the way and you insist on continuing to do things the same old way you always did them, there's not going to be any room for the new man to live. So we've got to move the old man out so the new man can take over, so the new man has a place. And so, praise God, God has given us this instruction today, but there's some certain things that'll help us do this, and it's to understand some of these truths. And first of all, the human mind, he shows us, in its old condition, is futile in its thought. Futility means, you know, like in vain, with no good reason. Have you ever thought about some of the things that we put a lot of thought into and some of the things that we get anxious over and really, really are concerned about in life and really broken some of those things down to see, is this really God who's making me feel this way about this item? Or is this the world's thinking that's making me feel this way? Because I can tell you the things of this world are passing away. And it's futile for us to put all of our thought and energy into it. In fact, that's just what the rest of the Gentiles do. And the reason why it says it that way, the rest of the Gentiles, or just Gentiles in general, is he's speaking of unbelieving people. He's saying, don't continue to think like unbelieving people. If we reread that verse and take it in its context, he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you shall no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. In other words, don't keep walking like you used to walk. And the rest of the unbelieving world is still walking in that direction. And I'll just ask you, as you look at the modern day Christian church in the United States, we're beginning to look more and more like the world instead of the world looking more and more like the Bible. And this is where we need to understand that's not God's will for us to try to look like the world. God wants us to model our life after our Lord Jesus Christ and after his word. That's how our conduct should look. We should look different. And whenever people see that we look different, they at first may be a little confused or bewildered, or they might even make fun of us for it. But I'm going to tell you, if you are patient, and if you keep walking with Jesus, God can do things in their lives to where they're going to want what you have. They are going to want to know more. They're going to call on you in their time of need because they see there's something different going on in your life. And so we want to understand that all the worldliness is just futility. And if our mind is constantly on those things that are just going to burn in the end, then basically it's just futility. Don't spend your time on futility. How many of us want to get to the end of our life and look back, and maybe we have that wonderful moment where we get to look back at our life right before we cross in to eternity with God? And how many of us want to look back and think, man, you know, I'm realizing most of what I spent my time on is useless. Would that really be what we want? No, I have actually seen people have great sorrow over that. You see, what we want to be doing is putting our treasures, storing them up in heaven. And then at the last moment of your life, you will have a hopeful expectation of getting to see what you've been hoping for all along. You see, then it becomes that rather than building your life and spending your energy in futility and your thought processes in futility, you're spending your thought processes toward eternity. And whenever we are spending it toward eternity and we're pouring it into people who are going to be there with us, then we are going to get to enjoy the fruit of our labor here on earth forever in heaven. And so let's lay aside that old way of thinking so that we can take on this new way of thinking. Amen? And every day is going to be a new experience with this. Every day we're going to have to wake up in the morning. We're going to have to say, God, help me to concentrate on the things of your world, of eternity. And what we got to understand now, when we're looking at other people and we're looking at the world and we're seeing, you know, they're worried about other things, we want to be remembering that the unregenerate hearts are blinded. You remember he used that word, that phrase, like the other Gentiles? What he's speaking of is people who are unsaved. And before we're saved, our hearts are considered unregenerate. They haven't been made new yet. And they're blinded. And so we wouldn't ask a blind person to lead us, would we, on a journey? We wouldn't go out, you know, and we're in a crowd and we're not really sure where to go and we're looking for directions. Would you go look for the person that has a cane walking down the street and somebody leading them and ask them for directions? No. You would want to ask someone who is able to you know, make it there on their own. You know, guys, I'm afraid that the church is looking to the world for our directions. And we really need to be careful doing that because the unregenerate hearts are blinded. In fact, he says that they're darkened in their understanding. They're being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. You see, those who have had their eyes open, we need to step up and lead. And whenever we step up and lead, we're going to get criticized. And that's why most people won't do it. But if you really do have the information, you are doing them a disservice by sitting in the background waiting on them to lead. So if you are a Christian in your office, you're one of the only Christians, and you see a crisis situation, offer to pray. Offer to be the one who can help in this situation because you know the one who can do something. If you're the only Christian in a particular area of society or at an accident, be bold. Step up and ask if you can lead in prayer or in some other measure spiritually. You know, I came upon a very strange situation this past week, and I'll just give you an example of what I'm saying. And I don't do this perfectly, but God laid this in my lap the other day. I went to do a visit at a church member's house that hasn't been coming very often, and so we were there. And while we were standing there visiting, we noticed two men walking down Highway 21 together. And then they kind of disappeared under this little hill that you couldn't quite see. And then we only saw one man walking on down. Well, it caught our eye. We were all standing there talking. And somebody said, "Did you notice there were two people and then there was only one?" So we stood there and talked a little longer and we kept watching. The second man never reappeared. So the man's daughter came home. And she said, "Dad, there's some guy, he's laying basically in the ditch down there at the bottom of our hill on our property. He's laying on the ground down there." And so we hopped in the car and we drove down here to check it out. And the guy had been like pretty badly beaten up by somebody else. You could see he had a black eye, lots of scrapes on his face. It was pretty fresh. And so we began to talk to him. He's a little delirious. I don't know if his friend had anything to do with it that walked off, but anyway, we questioned him a little bit to see if there's any way we could help him. And about that time, the policeman showed up. So somebody had called the police. They had seen similar thing, and so the police showed up. Police started asking him some of the same questions. And he was a little unclear. He never got off the ground. He just lay there and kind of crossed his legs, and he said, "Oh, no, I'm fine. You guys go on. I'm fine, you know." And so anyway, there wasn't much more we could do. The police were there. They were the authority who could actually do something about whatever legal matters there might be and to get him some medical help. But you know, I thought, this is a God moment. God has me as a Christian here for a moment just such as this. And so I just looked down at the ground and I looked at the man. And the man, you know what he said to me? It was very interesting. He looked at me and he said, "You're a good man. I can tell." That's very strange. And I said, "Well, I don't know how good I am, but I do know Jesus is good." And he said, "Jesus." He said, "Well, maybe you should come to my church sometime." Isn't this an unusual story? And I said, "Really? Well, where do you go to church?" And so he described the church that he goes to. And I said, "Well, that's interesting. But really what I wanted to do is I wanted to ask you if I could pray for you." And he said, "Yes, I would really appreciate that." So in that moment, in front of the police officer and everybody else, I just knelt down and I laid my hand on his arm and I began to pray for him. And that man grabbed my hand and he just began to weep. And whenever I was finished praying over him, he looked at me and he said, "Thank you. That really mattered." I think that's kind of, you know, like when we have those God moments, it was a little bit awkward at first. And I'm thinking, maybe I should stay out of the policeman's way. Do you know, whenever I looked up at the police officer and I was getting ready to leave, he looked so tenderly at me. He was thankful that I did that as well. You see, let's be bold with our witness. Let's step up and let's lead spiritually because we're the ones who have the Holy Spirit in us. And about that man who was laying on the road, it would not surprise me a bit, but what, he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him, but he had just gotten kind of off the path. And whenever our spirit, you know, the spirit in him and the spirit in me connected in that moment, I think that really may be a life-changing opportunity in his life. He was brought to the throne of God. And God is the one who makes a difference. You see, we need to get the old man out of the way so that we can put on the new man. And it's every day is a new day of figuring out what that looks like. Every day is a new day for me. You see, those unregenerate hearts are not only blinded, but they're also calloused. If we look at verse 19, they're past feeling. If we keep going in the same direction according to the same old way of denying the Holy Spirit, eventually our heart just gets unfeeling. It gets calloused. Can anyone give me a witness on that, an amen? Have you ever been there? Just keep denying the Holy Spirit, denying the Holy Spirit, denying the Holy Spirit, and then one day you wake up and you say, "I just don't even feel like I can feel God anymore." Have you ever felt that way? I've talked to a lot of Christians that feel that way. And you know what the answer is? Put off the old man and put on the new man. Right there at that place where you're denying God, you start obeying him and see what happens. Maybe it's some unforgiveness in your heart. Man, there is nothing that will cause a callous on your heart worse than unforgiveness. He deals with that later on in this. But we just don't want to be past feeling. If we ever get at that point, guys, it's awful hard to lead us. Because the Holy Spirit's really quiet and gentle most of the time. We've got to be sensitive. You know, I got a lot of calluses on my hands from doing different things and having them in gasoline and on postal diggers and stuff like that. You know, I can't feel those really fine things like sometimes I'd like to be able to. And you know, we've got to be careful our heart don't get like that. Because it'll just become, you know, it'll just become very insensitive if we're not careful. You know, and whenever we get like that, and especially with the unbelieving world, they just give themselves over to lewdness, to work on cleanness and greediness. What's the world look like right now? Oh my goodness, unclean and greedy, yes. Crazy. It's insane. And I'll be honest, sometimes I get downright mad about the things I'm seeing. And I need to correct myself on that and realize they're just blind. They're just, they're unfeeling, they're calloused because they keep going by the old man and they don't have the new man living in there yet. If they knew Jesus, they would be different. And if I knew Jesus, know Jesus, I should be different. Amen? And so, kind of moving on, those who are taught by Jesus are different. Amen? Whenever you start being taught by Jesus, it just changes everything you thought you ever knew. You know, he's the one who says, you know, you've heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, turn the other cheek. That was a hard one for me. The world didn't seem to work that way, but I'll tell you, since I've started working that way and following Christ, it's been amazing the changes he's made in my life. You see, I had to put off the old man to put on the new man, and he wants us to learn through Christ. And as we have learned Christ, he's the way and the truth and the life, right? He's the truth. And if we've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, we need to do it. Amen? We need to do what we know. And we have to put off that old man, though, to make room. You see, and that you put off in verses 22 and 23, that you put off concerning your former conduct. You see, there's believers out there who the Holy Spirit's moved in, but they're not putting off the old way of doing things, and so they're not really learning from Christ how to move forward. They're stuck. I don't want to be stuck. I don't like being stuck. You ever feel like you're stuck? I don't like being stuck. If I feel like I'm stuck, then I need to have another come to Jesus moment and rededicate my life and say, all right, Lord, whatever you show me from here on out in your word, I'm going to try to do it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to be able to move forward. You see, life, the Christian life is like stepping stones, and they're too far apart to skip one. So if there's something there that you're not dealing with, you're not going to get to go past it until you deal with it. You're over a huge canyon underneath you. You can't go around it. You have got to go through it one step at a time. The Bible says it's from faith to faith. And as you learn from Christ, we need to do it. We need to put off the old man, that old way, that former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you see, as soon as we do that, that gives space, that gives room, that gives opportunity, that gives vacancy for this new man to move in. We need the new man. We got to make space for the new man. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And now, in verses 25 through 32, he's going to show us what that new man looks like. And in a nutshell, I just kind of listed them out here on your study notes. We've already read through them. But basically, it boils down to, if you're struggling with lying, we've all lied, right? When we come to Christ, we need to stop lying. Go to that next slide there. We need to put off lying. And you know what we need to do? Speak the truth. It's real simple. Just stop lying and start just saying the simple truth. Some people say, well, you know, it's hard, preacher. No, it ain't. Just tell the truth. And if we tell the truth, I'll tell you what happens. There's not any room for the old man to try to move back in. When we move the old man out because he ain't been paying his rent, and he's worthless, move him out of the room, move someone else good in. And whenever we move Jesus into that room, there's no place for the old man to come back to. Jesus said something about that. He said when the house is all cleaned up and the evil spirit is left, he's going to go out among arid places and he's going to gather up some buddies. And if he comes back and that room's empty, he's going to move back in with all seven of his buddies. And hey, he says the condition of that man is worse than before. So as soon as we move this old man out, we better move this new man in so there's no place for the enemy to take up residence in us. Amen? This is so important. I'm just going to say this is a victorious life 101. This is like where it starts. This is where it continues. So we put off lying, let's speak the truth. We put off wrath, let's close the door to the devil. I'm going to tell you, that's been one of them for me, you know. As soon as I start to display wrath, just a little bit of displeasure, and I start to get a little bit livid about it, or I start to let it show a little bit, you know what that I envision that is like? It's like the devil's been knocking, and I'm saying, nope, you can't come in, you can't come in, you can't, okay, well, maybe I'll just take a little peek. And I'm going to tell you, as soon as I take that little peek, I'll tell you what the devil does. He just kicks that door right open and comes right on in. And buddy, I can tell you from that point on, it ain't good. And so you know how I've got to counter that? Don't even open the door even a little bit to wrath. Whenever I'm feeling angry, I just need to go find a place to cool off. You see, we can sin, you know, we can be angry about things without sinning, providing it's a godly anger. It's not just for our own personal gain. And then we need to close the door to wrathfulness, because wrath is always bad. It is always bad. Man's wrath does not bring about the righteousness of God, James says. So we want to put away wrath and close the door to the devil. Don't even let him in. We want to put away stealing. And you know what? The best way to do something about stealing is go ahead and get you a job. If you're working hard for it, you wouldn't want nobody else taking what's yours, amen? So you're not even going to have time to be going out and taking anything that's anybody else's. And then you're going to have something to share with others who are in need. Isn't that a great comfort there? You know, God wanted to deal with me on something after I became a Christian. It took a few years for me to get this one under control. I used to chew tobacco, and it's very addictive. And I knew, you know, like, I could come to Christ, and, you know, he would help save me. But, boy, it was hard to get rid of that bad habit. You know what I did to get rid of the bad habit? I tried several times to quit. And we'd been wanting to sponsor a child through Compassion International, and I figured it up. I was spending more than $40 a month, you know, on the chewing tobacco that I would buy, or probably close to the same amount. Back then, I think it was only like $28 or $29 a month or something for a sponsored child. And I thought, we're going to sponsor this child, and I'm going to use my tobacco money to pay for it. And whenever I think about chewing tobacco again, I'll see that little guy's face in my mind. What I want to take away from him to put something that's going to hurt me in my lip, that's got control of my life. And you know what? It was a lot of incentive. You see, I put away the old man so that I could put on the new man. And I've never really wanted to go back to it. In fact, now we sponsor more than one child because we've been able to see ways to do that in other areas of our life and just be able to enjoy those letters that we get from the children. They are so much better than any little bit of sinful satisfaction I got from the chewing tobacco addiction that I had. So I put away that, you know, whatever that is, and here it's talking about stealing and do hard work. Work hard to share with others. You want to put away corrupt talk. Any of us ever talked corruptly before we were walking with the Lord? You know, I remember I had a really hard time with cursing. And you know, that was something God wanted to have it in his proper place. You know, a servant of God can't be over there cursing up a storm and then turn around talking to somebody about Jesus. They're not going to take you real serious, are they? You're killing your witness, and God's grieved by that. Will you put away that corrupt talk to send forth edification? What does edification mean? Building people up spiritually. Stop with the corrupt talk. This could mean dirty jokes. This could mean off-color humor. This could mean, you know, like prejudiced speech, things of that nature, so that we can be helping to edify others. Amen? Put away grieving the Holy Spirit. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit? When we just do the opposite of what he's telling us to do. Amen? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Put that away and look forward to full redemption. Whenever you're tempted to do something bad and to take on the old man, you think about Jesus is building a place for you in heaven. You think about, man, I need to finish well so that I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Isn't that what we want to hear? That's what I want to hear. And in those times when I'm tempted to go back to grieving the Holy Spirit and doing my own thing, I need to remember there's something better to hope for. And then we need to put away malice, to be tenderhearted and forgiving. And this is where he's talking about that bitterness in our heart. Guys, don't let that bitterness take over in your heart that causes wrath and anger and clamor. If there's somebody you need to forgive, do it. Give it to Jesus. You know, and it may be hard for you to forgive, and I know some things are hard to forgive. Do you think Jesus can help you? He forgave us even when the nails were driven into his hands. Even while we were still sinners, he died for us. So here's the secret of forgiveness. If you've got somebody you're harboring unforgiveness for that's really hurt you bad, say, Jesus, I want to do this, and I can't do it on my own, so I'm asking you to help me. Give me the forgiveness in my heart that I need. I'm willing. Amen? I'm willing. Because I don't want this bitterness. You see, put away that malice and be tenderhearted and forgiving. And it's all because of this one reason, for this one reason. Not because the preacher told you. Not because you're a member of Cadet Baptist Church. But because Christ has forgiven you. If Christ has forgiven us, how can we continue in our sin? Amen? How can we continue in our sin? If you want to go to that last slide there, Isaiah. So I want you guys to just be emboldened, to be encouraged, to be enjoying Christ's forgiveness for you by taking off that old man, putting off that old man, putting on the new man. Then we can walk forward with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, I want every one of us in this room to be able to live a victorious Christian life, to walk in victory, the victory that you have won for us. Lord, I'm afraid too many times we're hanging on to that old man. We're dragging him along with us. That old man was death. We wouldn't drag around a dead body with us. It was said that men who committed murder by Roman law, they would tie the old dead carcass to him and have him dragging around till it all rotted away. That was his punishment. I'm afraid that a lot of people in the church are doing that. Dragging around their old man because they don't want to let him go. They think they might want to return to that someday. That old rotting flesh is just stinky, Lord. Help us to walk away from it, to put it off, to put on the new man. This new man that's created in your image that wants to become more like Jesus every day. Help us to live that victorious Christian life. Lord, bless us. If anybody has anything that they want to repent of this morning, if they want to give their heart to Jesus, this altar is going to be open in any matter. Lord, maybe there's an issue of unforgiveness for another individual, and they need to get that out and get it out before you. I pray that they'll take this time during this invitation to take action on what you're leading them to do. That's the first step in being able to get over that and put off that old man. It's just to admit it, confess it, and repent and turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand.